of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I got a frog in my throat as I stepped through the door, so I could be like this.
That's that new perfume you're not smelling back here at home.
Sorry.
What is that?
Bath and Body stuff.
Smells pretty good.
Well, thanks.
Good morning, November 30th, Des Moines County Board of Supervisors, November 30th, 2021. It'll get better.
What, not sure, Carl, or?
Me.
Oh.
The meeting. Are there any changes to the tentative agenda?
No, there are not.
We do have one, the work session has been postponed for a week anyway.
Yeah.
Meet with department heads and elected officials. Terry, would you prefer to, or you want me to, which, call on you or call on Sarah?
You can call on Sarah if you want to.
Okay.
She's been gone for a week, so she's.
I have, so I'm.
You look well rested.
Yes, so I'm very busy getting things done for payroll week, so just trying to get back in the groove of things.
Thanks, Sarah.
I don't know how she could be really rested after she moved.
Yeah.
That's a job.
I'm aware of that.
It was fun.
Cop patrol now, yeah.
Stop it. I'm sure you can find it.
I hope his check doesn't get lost in the system.
Yeah, don't forget, Friday is payday.
Commander Stite too.
Just getting busy like we always do, but don't really have anything new to report, so.
Thanks, Colin. Kevin Glendenny, Des Moines County Sheriff.
Hi, good morning. Things are going well at the sheriff's office. We're just getting ready for some transitions at the end of the year, trying to prepare for that. Quite a few retirements and some movement going on, and some guys finishing up the academy, so getting all prepared. And jail's at 66, three adults out of county, and one juvenile.
That's good. Keeping that count down under 70, that's great.
Holding the 60s, that's pretty good. Yeah. Hopefully we can stay there for a while.
I think it's when we started to threaten Doug that he was going to have to house the overflow at his house.
we got busy.
Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. We are busy in the office. One of the things we're working on is the redistricting, reprecincting, which we have to have done by January the 15th. The city of Burlington is working on their reprecincting, and I believe they are going to go from 9 precincts down to 8. Whenever they advertise, they'll have to do an ordinance and all that, so we'll have to prepare an ordinance for all of ours. And what we'll have to do is, before we had precinct 1 and Tama together, and since the new redistricting, we're going to have to separate them, but Tama will probably still vote at Oak Street, but they will have their own separate ballot. So we'll be separating them, and then Danville and Danville Township will be in a new Senate district and a new representative district. So just working out all of those kinks and getting everything together, and so probably in December or early January, the ordinance will be coming through for all of the precincts.
Are the cities responsible for their own precincting?
The larger ones are, that have now, like West Burlington, their population is low enough, they just have one precinct. And I know 10 years ago when I did the ordinance, I didn't include West Burlington in it because we weren't changing anything, and I figured they were on their own. And then we ended up having to do an amendment because we had to put West Burlington in ours. So, but all the small cities, even like Mediapolis, because Yellow Spring and Franklin Township vote with Mediapolis, are kind of merged together as one precinct. If they were a larger city, we'd have to have an agreement with them, but since they're under a certain size, we just merge them together. So those two townships in the city vote at the same location, just like Danville and Danville Township, and Flint River Township and Middletown. All of those will stay the same, except we'll probably break off Union. Well, Union was always its own anyway, but we'll probably break off Concordia from Precinct 8. I don't know what the new number will be, but they will probably still vote at the same location, but they'll have their own ballot.
Wouldn't larger cities then be responsible for finding their own polling places?
No.
So that's still.
That's still our responsibility.
That may be
yours. Yeah. And there's a few locations because this is also a year when we need to go around and do the ADA compliance thing and double check. They stipulate that you should do that every few years, and so we need to do that and make sure that everything still complies. And I'm gonna send out somebody different to do that because I think we need a new set of eyes for that. So hopefully, and who knows, there might be a few locations that we might have to change. I know there are a few locations that we would like to find a new location, so we'll see how that rolls out.
Thank you, Derek.
And then don't forget your budget meeting with the department heads.
Well, we were talking about that yesterday. This doesn't have anything to do about our precincts or anything, but the voting. There's papers going around.
Petition
going around to have the school board in Danville vote, you know.
Yes, because they recently had one of their board members resign,
effective
11/23 or something like that. So, yeah, I believe from the emails that I've gotten that they advertised that they were tending to appoint that position.
Yeah.
And once that advertisement goes out, then the public has 14 days to petition to call for a special election. So who knows, we might be having a special election over there.
I seen the paper yesterday, so.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry. Chair Glasser, land use.
We have subdivisions out for review. One of those we gave you last week, might be a few more weeks before it actually comes through for a vote. Evidently there was, it didn't get to the city of Burlington in time. It's in their 2-mile review, so that's gonna put that off a little bit. But we got one on the agenda for today. Just otherwise keeping busy as normal.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
Hi, good morning. Our monthly board meeting is tomorrow, so that's kind of the big thing we have pending. I did just submit a fish habitat grant to build a couple additional sediment ponds up in Big Hollow, so this is part of the watershed work that we've been doing. So probably 4-ish years ago now, we did a watershed assessment where we went through and we found all the spots where we were having gully erosion that were feeding into the lake, or into the lake's watershed. And so we've been systematically going through and trying to address all the ones inside the park that we can. We built that sediment pond next to the campground in 2019, and so now we're moving on. These are just the next gullies west, so it'll be from the RV campground. It's gonna be just west of there in that ravine between the RV campground and the tent campground, and then the next ravine west of the tent campground. There'll be new ponds going in there, assuming we get this grant. And so those will address some erosive gullies that feed sediment into the lake. And so it's kind of one of those trade-off deals. We are gonna end up losing a fair number of trees, and that's a pretty nice forest in there. But you know, it's kind of one of those trade-offs. We got this contributing sediment to the lake, and so we'll try to build it in such a way that we minimize impact and that kind of stuff. And so we should know, I think, in January whether we got that grant. And if we do, we'll have to get the trees, the sizable trees, down on the ground before April for when bat season starts, because Indiana bat protection season starts then. So we'll be scrambling to try to get all the cutting down, at least get everything on the ground so that habitat doesn't exist when the bats start migrating back through. And we do know that we have those species of bats in that park in fairly good numbers in the summertime, so we got to be real cognizant of that. So that's just one of many grants that we put through and will be putting through in the next couple months to keep all the development of that park moving forward.
Speaking of which, and I apologize, it's hard for me to keep track, but the watershed grant, or the that we're gonna allow you to hire a watershed coordinator, I believe, to work on the especially the algae bloom.
Yeah.
Where does that stand?
We have a conference call tomorrow with the engineers to review the semi-final draft plan. And I believe it goes to the Soil and Water District Commissioners, I want to say December 9th, for their approval. So the final plan should be done by then. It'll go to the Soil and Water District for approval by the commissioners, because they're technically the granting entity, or the grant recipient, for hiring this engineer. And then once that's approved, then it goes to the EPA, and hopefully sometime in 2022 we'll have that plan approved, and that'll qualify us for that federal funding. And so in an ideal world, in mid-late 2022, we'll have notice of some grant funding, or at least opportunities for grant funding to get that watershed coordinator hired on. So I'm shooting for 2022, 2023 to have that person on the ground. I don't exactly know yet what that's going to look like, whether it's going to be a part-time, a full-time, a shared deal between Soil and Water District and us, or we've got some logistics to work out there, but we should be hopefully within a week or two of having that plan finalized and sent off to the federal government for that process, and I have no idea how long that takes.
I'm sure they'll be right on.
I'm sure, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, we are very, very close. We've been going through several draft reviews and sending editorial comments back and forth. I think tomorrow's our final discussion on final edits.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Ken Heinemann, Community Services.
Good morning. Nothing really new to report this time.
Janelle Nellie Longquist, Moyne County Treasurer.
Good morning. We're just keeping busy, but nothing new to report either.
Natalie Steffner, Moyne County Recorder.
Good morning. Happy to report that maintenance finally got their part after feels like a few months, but not quite that long. So our window is now up and functional. So
that is good news.
Busy working on that. And thanks to Colin's staff, they're getting in the process of getting all of our stuff moved back over. So we're all working out of the same office now. Just keeping busy.
Thanks, Natalie. Rodney Wiesner, maintenance.
Good morning. Really nothing new to report. Thank you.
Krista Pogamore, public health.
Good morning. We continue to be busy. Our positive COVID rate for the county is at 10% with 71 cases. In the past 7 days, our vaccination rate at 18 and older is at 58.3%, and 65 plus is at 82%. So our vaccination rates continue to go up. Boosters are now open to anyone that's older than 18, and that would be 6 months after completion of the initial series for the Moderna or the Pfizer, and 2 months after the single shot from the Johnson & Johnson. And we are offering walk-in clinics as well as clinics by appointment Mondays and Wednesdays for adults 18 and older in our office, Thursdays for children 5 to 11, and then we're continuing to do our immunization clinics on Tuesdays. We did also get some additional funding that I kind of touched base on before. Part of that funding is for COVID, and there is funding for IT upgrades, and it's to carry out technology upgrades to ensure local health technology systems are compatible with the state designated surveillance system. And then there's funds through this grant for, or it's actually not a grant, it's just state funds, confinement to work with county jails, city jails, and juvenile detention centers, as well as there's going to be some funds for homeless to work with organizations that manage emergency shelters within the county. So we're going to work on trying to get a plan put together. This is one of those where we have to submit the plan, and then the funds will be released. So that'll go through our local health department.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thanks, Krista. Well, we set aside a little block of time for secondary roads.
But you put in last, so I only had as much paper left, so keep it short.
Boy, do I have a lot to cover.
We need more coffee.
Yeah, we need more coffee. So mostly just maintenance projects right now. The guys are ditching out on Teal Road. They just moved out there today. They have been down on Sullivan Slough.
Where?
Teal Road.
Okay.
They were on Sullivan Slough. We got that wrapped up. Just trying to do, since the weather's nice, we're still trying to do ditching, but trying to stay on small stuff. So whenever it finally actually turns to December, we'll be up and out of it. So, but our culvert crew's still going too. I have to give them compliments. They completed a
I thought was a fairly complicated project last week on just at a spot where water was causing us trouble a little bit, like Chris was talking about, where it's eroding away and we were losing the edge of a road in a very steep gully. So we got off the landowner, worked something out, and they spent a better part of a week there getting that stabilized. So had to extend a culvert and do some stuff like that. But so they're still going too, and I've always said any work this time of year is bonus work. It's not stuff that you normally count on being able to do what we're doing. I know the guys have been out doing some blading again with some of the, ironically, with the lack of moisture, we're just having a hard time getting the roads to stay in the shape we want them. They just want a washboard, which is pretty typical for dry weather. It's just this time of year, normally you have some moisture, and we just obviously haven't had a whole lot lately. So, I guess a note, if you've been north on 61, they definitely got their changes done. There is still work going on, but I don't think as far as a driving pattern, you're going to see anything change going forward at this point this winter. I would note, however, that the contractor has moved up and started working on the bypass area immediately along Mediapolis Road. And I've had quite a few questions, what's going on, all sorts of stuff. There's actually two things going up there. One is obviously the bypass work. You can, if you've driven through there this summer, you could tell where it was at because it was nothing but a patch of weeds. And they're starting to strip black dirt there, and I think they're going to work until winter chases them out also. It's the same contractor doing the dirt work on the other segment, so they're basically working in both places. And then also, there's some drill rigs up there. I've had quite a few questions about that too. That is the gypsum plant looking for more ground. So they're exploratory drilling, I would call it kind of to the northwest is what I would call it, to figure out where their limits are and if there's any rights to be purchased from landowners and stuff like that. So obviously that's private business and everything, but I found that out. I was kind of wondering the same thing, what was going on. And so there's just quite a bit of stuff going on along Mediapolis Road, I guess.
And they're a pretty good hole for that. Too,
yeah, they got the pit, and then they of course got their boring machines out there. And yeah. When we did have all that rain, I know they were fighting water. You could drive by there and see they were fighting water in the hole, but that hasn't been an issue lately. But when we went on that tour of the mine, wasn't that 600 foot deep?
600.
I was
somewhat.
Yeah.
630 or something.
So
like
that's a long ways to bore down, because I'm sure they got to bore to it and then through it and then they got to test it and all that sort of stuff. So anyway, I talked to one of the neighbors up there, and that's what was going on there. And I would mention I was going to bring it up at the work session, but that got pushed back. I did go ahead and get a hold of Tony DeWald yesterday at Klinger. I talked it through with them. We're going to modify what he had originally planned for some of the language for completion and stuff in the project for the courthouse steps. I decided to bounce off you what we talked about to make sure everybody's comfortable with it. But I think ultimately you're still pushing for the best competitive bids possible. I think we all know, and Rodney, please chime in if I'm wrong on this, because I didn't get a chance to talk to you about it. But I don't think anybody really cares if it's fully functioning until before winter so it can be tested. So I moved he was looking at trying to get it done sometime in April or May. I felt like that was really short scheduling and kind of tight on contractors, in my opinion. So we're gonna move, he wanted to use a substantial completion date rather than we use late start dates frequently, but I've used them both. So we discussed moving the substantial completion date back to September 30th of 22. That gives at least a month for the system to be tested and all that sort of stuff. Let's face it, if there's major problems, it was going to be an issue no matter what. Hopefully there's not. And so we were going to do that. We came up with certain number of working days. I want to say 30. He thought a month was plenty, which 30 is over a month as far as working days it's called. There's an extra access into the courthouse, so a little longer closure isn't the end of the world. Just trying to come up with the best economical bids possible. We talked through some language that would make the contractor aware that once we started working days, that we would continue charging them
unless the weather wouldn't allow the work to be done. So I thought I'd let you know I did finally get a hold of him. I apologize to Rodney because I said I'd do that like 3 weeks ago. And so we're going to, there's going to be some different language and some different dates in there. I just wanted to make sure you guys were comfortable with it and that Rodney was comfortable with that. So Tony was worried. He said a lot of the same contractors look at that work, look at school work. And he said the out of school session tends to be a really busy time period for that type of contractor. So by going into September, obviously school is back in session, so they can work on it really at any point they want. But if they want to wait till school goes back and they're done with the job, that would give them a time period after school goes back to be able to work on it. So I think that's as good a flexibility as we can give a contractor. So anyway, so I wanted to let you know I did get a hold of him and talk that through.
So thank you, Brian.
Yep, thank you.
I just have Mr. McCandle here on the WebEx call. So.
Hi, Shane. Okay. Any correspondence? I have none.
I just put that in there. I didn't know if you wanted to read that or not. That's the email that Natalie passed on.
Oh, okay. It's from a recorder. It's just a heads up that I learned in a department head meeting yesterday that effective January 1st, the state won't allow counties to reimburse employees for hotel stays unless the hotel is certified in human trafficking prevention training. Our county is going to require proof such as a copy of the certificate in order to be reimbursed. This is the first I had heard of this and wanted to pass it along as I could be impactful to us regarding ISAC and ICRA sessions. This is the first I've heard of that. I would assume it affects hotels and motels that they would be aware of it and documentation required, but I'd never even heard that discussed.
No, I didn't realize it either until Natalie brought it down, so.
Okay, yeah, thanks for the heads up. That's certified human
changes.
Trafficking prevention training. Do you know anything about that, Kevin?
I haven't heard that about the hotel motels, but we've done annual trainings on the human trafficking prevention, but I wasn't aware of that restriction.
Is that a...
I think it says it, and did you attach the...
You've got Iowa code, and I spared everyone...
From reading it.
I'm happy.
And I'm sure that motels would know... Have it posted somewhere.
I'm sure they would, or have something available that they could email you or a handout. But is that a? And I'm always shocked when I ask these questions. Is that a problem in the Midwest or in this area?
You know, it's one of those things that's underlying. It happens, and it's not what you expect it to look like. It has a lot to do with typically juveniles, young adults, and addictions,
yeah.
And so we're trying to look out for those things, your normal areas that are of concern, like hotels, truck stops, places like that, and reach out and kind of educate them. So it's a good thing. It's there, but sometimes it isn't what you think it's going to appear to be or what it's going to look like.
We had a training about that a year or two ago. I don't know if it was at one of our ISAC meetings or it was an engineers conference. It was, I believe it was somebody from the state troopers, but I'm not sure who heads that up. And it was eye-opening, I guess is what I'd describe it as. It was, Iowa is apparently very much the center of all that because of the interstates that cross and run through.
I-80 and truck stops are a major issue. And like I said, it's not what you think it's going to look like. And unfortunately, we don't sometimes think of them as the typical victim because... they struggle with addiction or something along those lines, and they found themselves in a really bad position. But in the end, that's some unfortunate circumstances that have brought them to that. So it's good to try to give them a helping hand out of there.
Yeah. Thank you, Kevin.
Yep.
Okay. Didn't miss anybody. We will proceed to discussion and vote. We have a resolution number 2021-048 and the final plat for the Wyrex subdivision. That would be Jared.
So this is a minor subdivision, one lot, Danville Township, just on the west side of Beaverdale Road, kind of right at the point where the paved portion ends by 145th Street. It's basically, there's an existing lot that stretches all the way from Beaverdale Road over to Lynx Road that's about 150 acres. There's a house on Lynx Road where the owner resides there on the other side. And this subdivision would result in about 15 acres of that large property fronting along Beaverdale Road being split off, intended for transfer to the property owner to the south, who is a relative of the current owner, who resides on a 2-acre lot directly along Beaverdale. So this would just expand their property. There is an existing garage that evidently had been built for that home that actually does stretch onto this lot. That was the initial reasons for looking at a subdivision, is to ensure that building is on the correct tax parcel. This would transfer a number of acres of farmland, as well as there's a little junk car lot on the northwest corner, kind of tucked in behind a wooded area that's also used by the occupant of that home just to the south. So nothing new is proposed as a result of this. It's kind of just trying to better match how the property existing is currently used today. You will use the existing access from the home on Beaverdale Road. So no significant comments came up in the review, and it's not within 2 miles of a city, so it's pretty straightforward. So we recommend approval of Wyrex subdivision.
Thank you, Jeremy. Second, Sarah.
Jim Carey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Jamie Campbell. Yeah.
Thanks.
I apologize, Shane. I didn't see you, so I forgot about you. I didn't really forget. I know. Okay. That won't happen again.
It's all right. I only showed up for B and C anyway.
Okay. Okay. We have, we'll get these signed for you. Okay, we have approval of the weed commissioner's certification. I believe Brian, one of your employees, takes care of.
Yeah, so more for Shane's purpose than anybody else. This is actually Jeff Chase is our roadside commissioner. He handles that job more or less on behalf of the board, but we worked out a deal years ago. These are standard reports that he has to file with the state every single year. It's basically just reports on noxious weeds. I don't even have a copy of them with me. Once you guys approve them, they will get sent, the originals will get sent up to the state. It's a requirement. That's the best thing I could say about it. Jeff handles, if we get any calls from the general public, which is, it's rare. I mean, every so often you'll get something. He handles that side of the business. And then, of course, any noxious weeds in county right-of-way, we have a full spray program and everything else. So it's somewhat of an inventory and that kind of thing, and then what else you see in Des Moines County. So both those items have to do with that subject, and we'll be back on next November. It's an annual thing.
Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Well, Brian, you wear a lot of hats. I figured that would be Lynn Denny's business to take care of the weeds.
I agree. We can't get him out of the office. So
we're really moving up in the world. We've got our own weeds.
We need an approval of the weed commissioner certification.
So moved.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
And we have approval of the weed commissioner's report.
Same. My speech covers both.
Okay. Now, I assume the sheriff is familiarizing himself with these particular weeds, so he could be under review.
We can provide him all the information in the world with colored pictures.
Move to approve.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey?
Yes.
Shane McCampbell?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Okay, we have a personnel action for local health. We have the resignation of Samantha Sweeney, nurse, effective November 28th.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
We have the jail statistics for October 2021. This report will be on file at the auditor's office and available for public review. These numbers look a little better each month.
Working on it.
Thank you. We have the minutes for the regular meeting of November 23rd, 2021.
Move to approve.
Second.
Sarah.
Shane McCampbell.
Yes.
Jim Carrey.
Yes.
Tom Brokaw.
Yes.
Any other business?
I have none.
I was just thinking maybe we might need a commissioner of alcohol since we've already got a commissioner of weed.
That's outside the box thinking.
That is outside the box. We'll take that under advisement.
Sounds like committees.
Sounds like a job for you, Shane.
Future agenda items. I'd like to get that RFQ for construction manager on the agenda next week. I see Zach sent out
He sent it. I haven't read it, so I will make it.
We'll look through that. And I encourage anybody, if you look at it and see anything you want changed, to call and touch base with Zach, and I'd like to get that on the agenda next week if we could.
On the agenda or as a workshop?
On the agenda.
On the agenda.
If it's not quite ready, we don't have to approve it, but I'd like to get it approved as soon as possible so we can get that started.
I saw you raise your hand.
Yeah, I saw that we're postponing a work session from today. Is it still feasible to go ahead with the ordinance, land use ordinance discussion next week, or is that not looking so good with the...
We should... Do you still want to do, because since we need to go back and start looking at the land use ordinances again?
I know we have to go look at some of those. That's going to involve some considerable homework. It might not hurt if we could put that off another week. Okay. But I don't know, whatever. What do you think, Jim?
I agree with you on that. It should be, I think we originally talked about coming back in 2 to 3 weeks on it.
I know Zach wanted to get it done.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it helps with other scheduled work sessions, if we could still, if it's just a week, I guess that's fine. But I just want to make sure it fits in with whatever would be scheduled for that same day.
Okay.
So plan a work session on December the 12th?
If that day works better than the 7th,
it'd be
the 14th.
If that day works better than the 7th, then that's fine.
Let's put it to the 14th now.
Okay.
Okay.
That's going to take a little time on that work session.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because I think once we started delving into it, it's kind of like, okay,
yeah.
Didn't read that over properly. So.
I think you need to.
We'll have another work session if anybody wants any of that same day then.
I think you need to focus on subdivision one day and zoning a different day. I mean, we didn't get through subdivision.
That's and then there's the airport too.
And I mean, there's a lot. You're not going to. There's 80 pages in the zoning. I'm not saying you go through all of it, but I just don't think you're going to get all that knocked out thoroughly in one work session.
It's not like reading through a mystery either. That's a good idea. Point well taken. Why don't we do the subdivision and then do the zoning?
Yeah.
So
I think
subdivision
you could maybe
the
14th? Yeah.
And then the zoning the following week?
For tentatively now, yeah.
Okay.
Four of the same.
I appreciate easing into it.
Thank you, Shane. I agree. Committee report.
I have none.
Shane, I didn't hear you. I thought you said something.
Yeah, I've got nothing to report.
Okay, neither do I.
Down to the workforce center.
Okay, public input. Anybody from the public would like to address the board, make a comment or a question, you may email the Board of Supervisors at board@dmcounty.com. That's board@dmcounty.com. You may call 319-753-8203, extension 4. That's 319-753-8203, extension 4. We'll give you a couple minutes to initiate that email or call. In the interim, does anybody in attendance have any comments or questions? Good story.
I do have a comment. I went to the parade. That the Trade Work Partnership put on Saturday night, and the Grand Marshal is sitting in the back, Krista Fogemiller. And I can't think anybody else that was more rewarding to have that position than what she's gone through for the last year and a half with COVID.
Congratulations, I didn't realize that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you. Recognition was due to you. It's been a long 2 weeks to slow the spread.
Yes, it has.
And I want to tell you, she had that wave pretty down, too.
elbow, wrist.
Tom, you know?
Yes.
There's so many people, not a kids.
Okay.
That was very cool. Nice.
So were there quite a few entries in the parade?
It was quite a few.
Yeah, 60,
mm-hmm.
I think.
I didn't get to see all of it because we had our three grandkids there, a two-year-old and a three-year-old and then a four-month-old.
Advanceable.
Man, you're not
disturbing. Oh, Grandpa.
He was in diapers.
Yeah.
He was having a ball trying to explain everything to her what. I had a three-year-old, but I had the easy job. The four-month-old was kind of sleeping a little bit until the siren went off. That ended that real quick. This thing is going to make that noise again, Jared.
Okay.
What is
this? Apparently there's no public input, so with an aye, we're adjourned.
Aye.
We're adjourned. There will be a budget kickoff meeting with the department heads at Stars Cave Nature Center at 11:30 this morning.
Is it here?
Yes. See you in a
check
couple of hours.
I will. Apparently my counselor has decided to check my slot.